Going Linux, Episode 55, Printing and Tools, an Introduction, also known as the Networking Super Advanced Episode. Welcome to the Going Linux Podcast. I'm your host, Larry Bushy.
And I'm your co-host, Tom. Going Linux is designed to provide you with practical day-to-day advice on how to use Linux and Linux applications to get things done.
If you are new to Linux, moving to Linux, or just thinking about going Linux, then this podcast is for you.
Each month, we publish 3 episodes. We begin the month with a listener feedback episode. In our feedback episodes, we read listener emails, play listener-generated audio when we have them, and answer listener questions.
On the third Tuesday of each month, I appear live on the Computer America radio show. We post those shows, minus the commercials, as Going Linux episodes.
In our user experience episodes, we normally take 2 months to explore a topic related to Linux. During the first month, we introduce the topic for new Linux users and recent converts. During month 2, we discuss the same topic from a more advanced perspective for users building their confidence and competence with Linux.
Today's episode is the super advanced episode on home networking.
Ta-da!
We hope that you'll find this and all our episodes helpful in learning about Linux and its applications and using them to get things done. Well, Tom, we're covering a lot in our super advanced episode, and it's our first super advanced episode and maybe our last super advanced episode. So let's get started.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a long one, Larry. So let's start out with how to share a printer over the network like we promised last time. Before we start, do I need to have a printer that has network capability?
No, if you have a network printer, that makes the connection easier, but no, you don't really need to have a network-capable printer, nor do you need one of those printer server devices that you see at the electronics store. Our suggestions will work as long as your printer is connected to one of your computers and that computer is on the network. With that setup, we'll be able to print to the printer from any computer on your network.
Great. Now, for listeners who have not yet listened to our previous episodes on home networking, you should probably do that first. Listen to episodes 50 and 53. There we discussed how to get multiple computers connected on a home network. If you want to know more about printers, printer drivers, and selecting Linux-compatible printers, then listen to episode 269 of the Hacker Public Radio podcast. In that episode, Klaatu of the Bad Apples Linux cast talks about printing in Linux, and we'll put a link to that in the show notes.
Yes, I've listened to that episode too, and Klaatu did an excellent job of describing how CUPS works and how to connect a printer to your Linux computer. The first thing you'll need to do is to connect your printer to one of your machines and go through the setup process. Let's assume you've done that and that you can print documents to the printer from the computer it's connected to. The next steps are to share that printer on the network and connect to it from another computer on the network. In sharing a printer, you use exactly the same printer setup utility that you use when you set up a printer normally, one that's connected directly to the computer. As with many things Linux, there is more than one way of sharing printers. We'll be using the easiest method that works cross-platform with Windows and Mac, and that is to use CUPS.
Right, that's the Common Unix Printing System, CUPS.
Right, yes.
Let's use some specific examples like we did last time. That makes it a lot easier to understand, I think. Can you give us an example of how to share a printer between two Linux computers, Larry?
I absolutely agree that examples are the best way to illustrate something. So here's an example of how to share a printer between two Linux computers. We'll discuss sharing printers between Linux and Windows computers in a minute. But this example came from our listener, AJ, who wrote us asking about using a printer connection to his mom's Ubuntu computer from his Ubuntu laptop.
Yeah, and speaking of AJ, he is currently working on setting up his own Linux podcast, and we look forward to hearing that one.
Yeah, we'll have some announcements about that when he's ready to go, when he's got some episodes recorded, and when his website is up and running, fully functional. We'll give you all the links and all the details. In the meantime, back to printing. So AJ had asked us about using a printer connected to his mom's computer from his laptop, and we emailed him back with these instructions. On your mom's computer, which is running Ubuntu 8.04, Hardy Heron, first install a printer. Second, make sure the printer is turned on and working. I know that seems elementary, but we have run across situations where we've been helping people and the printer wasn't turned on, so I included that in the instructions just in case. No reflection
error
on AJ or his mom. Okay.
<Right.
laughs> So next, go to, in the Ubuntu menus on the mom's computer, go to System, Administration, and click on Printing. Select Server Settings on the left and turn on the checkbox labeled Publish Shared Printers Connected to This System. This is going to allow printer sharing over the private network. And finally, select the printer under Local Printers on the left side. Choose the Policies tab and turn on the checkboxes labeled Enabled, Accepting Jobs, and Shared. If you've enabled a firewall, you also need to open port 631 on the firewall. That's the default port for printing over a network.
Just that easy.
Now, on your computer, this is AJ's laptop, which is, he's told us, running Ubuntu 8.10, which is Intrepid IBEX. Yep. You go to System, Administration, and click on Printing. Turn on the checkbox labeled Show Printers Shared by Other Systems and click OK. Click the Refresh button, and after a brief pause, the printer on your mom's computer will appear. The printer should now appear as an available printer in your application's Print dialog box labeled cups/, and then the printer name.
And what's the printer name, Larry?
Yeah, and the printer name would be whatever the name was that was given to the mom's printer when you shared it on the network.
Okay, not necessarily when it was born.
Exactly.
Okay.
Then, AJ, if you right-click on the printer icon and select Properties, you'll notice that the device URI, which is Universal Resource something or other. I don't remember what the I is.
I don't either.
Yeah.
Interface, maybe.
Interface, there you go. That's in the form of IPP:// then your mom's IP address, :631, that, if you recall my previous comment a moment ago, is the printer port, then slash the word printers with an S on the end, another slash, and then the name of the printer. There's also a print test page button right there that you can use to test that the printer's working. You can also test the printer, of course, by printing to it from any application on your computer. And that's it.
Okay. By the way, port is also an excellent wine.
Yes, but wine's another program, so let's not get into
that. That's true. Okay, great. So now AJ's mom's computer is running Ubuntu 8.04 Hardy Heron, and his laptop is running Ubuntu 8.10 Intrepid IBEX. Are the steps the same for other versions of Ubuntu and other distributions using the GNOME desktop?
Yes, the steps are basically the same. There may be slight variations from distribution to distribution. OpenSUSE, for example, has all of its printer settings under the YAST utility, but the basic concepts are the same. Connect the printer to one computer, enable sharing, then connect from the other computer on the network.
And as with many things related to Linux, I'm sure that making a connection to a printer that is on the network can be done in a lot of different ways. What's an easy way that most people will be able to use if one or both computers are not running Ubuntu? Let's say I've connected to a printer on my Linux computer. Give us an example or two that'll work to let me connect to that printer from either another Linux computer or from a Windows computer. There, I said the W word.
We'll forgive you for that.
Okay.
The reality is there are people out there who do use Windows, and so let's be considerate of them as well.
Sure.
So let's talk about the easiest way to share a Linux printer with a Linux computer and with a Windows XP computer on the network.
Okay.
All you need to know is the IP address of the computer that has the printer connected to it. And how do we do that, Tom?
What is myip.com?
Yes, you can do that. Actually, the what is myip will give you the IP address that your internet service provider has given to your router.
Oh, and if you're behind a router, it won't work. That's right.
That's right. So, indeed, you have to open the terminal, type the command ifconfig, and that will list all of your network adapters and their corresponding IP addresses. So, armed with that little tidbit of information, you do all of this from the computer that does not have the printer attached to it. In other words, the computer that you want to use to print from.
Okay.
So if you have the GNOME desktop environment, choose the System menu, then Administration, Printing, and New. The printing application will likely see the network connected printer from your other Linux machine automatically. If so, click Forward and complete your printer setup normally. If not, select Internet Printing Protocol.
It's IPP.
Yep. Enter the IP address for the host computer. That's the IP address for the computer that has the printer connected to it. Click Find Queue. When it appears, select your printer and click OK. The entry in the host field changes to reflect the server name. In the format, the server name dot local colon 631. And the queue field changes to reflect something that looks like slash printers slash and then the name of the printer. The URI is displayed as IPP colon slash slash the name of the server, dot local colon 631 slash printers, and then the name of the printer. Click Verify, and once it's verified that you've made the connection to the printer, click OK, then the Forward button, and then Apply. So, obviously, with all of that, if you're not sitting in front of your computer
right.
and trying to connect to a printer, that's just a lot of gibberish. So
yeah, we don't mean for you to memorize this. It's
right.
something to listen to as you do it.
Yeah. And similarly with KDE, if you have KDE, you want to go to the K menu, select System Settings, Printers, Add Printer / Class, then the Next button, and Remote Cups Server is what you want to select. Click the Next button. At this point, if you've password protected your computer and your printer, it will ask you to enter your username and password. This would be the username and password for the computer that has the printer connected to it. So enter in your login name, your password, and then click Next. If it doesn't prompt you for a username and password, just click Next. Enter the IP address and port number 631. Click Next and select Printer. If you're using Windows XP, click the Start button, then choose Settings, Control Panel, Printers and Faxes, Add a Printer, and then Next. Select Add a Network Printer, click Next, choose the Connect to this printer or Browse for a Printer option. Enter --, the IP address of the computer that has the printer connected to it, another --, the name of the printer, and then click Next. If prompted, enter the username and password for the computer that has the printer connected to it. A warning may appear that a driver for the printer is about to be installed, depending on which service pack for Windows you have installed. If so, click Yes. Then it'll warn that the server does not have the driver, and it'll ask if you want to search for a driver. Just click OK. In each case we've discussed, GNOME, KDE, and Windows XP, from this point on, the setup is exactly the same as connecting to a printer normally. Choose the manufacturer and the specific model, and continue to set up the printer normally.
Okay, great. Now let's talk about sharing a Linux printer with Vista. A few episodes ago, listener Karen had trouble sharing printers between Vista and Linux. After downloading the latest version of Samba, she wrote to let us know how she did it. She said that step one was, on the Linux machine, open the Samba graphical interface from System Administration Samba. She said, interestingly, I had to download the graphical interface separately. It did not come with my original Samba. Double-click the printer in the list, click Add a Share, change to Read/Write, and Visible under the Basic tab, and then under the Access tab, give access to everyone, or set up individual users under Preferences. Now, from the Vista machine, find the printer and right-click to connect. Vista asks for a username and password. This was a bit confusing, which user and password. But finally, using my Vista administration account, got the job done. Vista asks for a driver. I installed a generic color driver. Why? Something I remembered from one of the articles I read a while ago. The printer-specific driver might work as well. Well, thanks, Karen.
All right, well now let's discuss sharing a Vista printer with Ubuntu Linux. On your Vista machine, these Network and Sharing Center settings need to be turned on. Network Discovery, File Sharing, Public Folder Sharing, and Printer Sharing. In Vista, if password protection is on, only people using a network computer with a user account recognized by Vista and a password will be able to print to the shared printer. If you don't really need to have the printer password protected, I would turn that feature off. That will save you a lot of headaches. If you want to keep the password protection on the printer, you'll need to set up an account on your Linux machine that has the exact same username and password as is being used to protect the printer on Vista. Otherwise, none of this connection stuff will work. Of course, Vista has to make it that much more complex.
No kidding.
So all of these settings are in the Network and Sharing Center on your Vista machine. First, click on the arrow next to Printer Sharing. Click the option to turn on Printer Sharing. Click the Apply button to save your changes. If Vista's user account control prompts you for an administrator's password, enter it to confirm what you've just done. Password and protection sharing is below the printer sharing section. Click on the arrow to expand that section. Choose whether you want to use password protection or not, and click Apply to save your changes. Now, on your Ubuntu machine, use the Add a Printer feature to connect to the printer on your Vista machine using SMB. The Samba client, which is what SMB stands for, is the protocol used by Windows for sharing. Here's how you set up a network printer on Ubuntu when you're connecting to that Vista machine. On your Vista machine, you'll need to know the IP address. So go there and open a command prompt and type ipconfig. That does the same thing as ifconfig does on Linux from a terminal. It tells you what the IP address is of your network card. So find the IP address of the computer and make a note of it. You'll, of course, need that when setting up the printer, as we've done in the past. On the Ubuntu machine, choose Applications, Settings, Printing from the main menu. Click the New Printer button. Choose Windows Printer via Samba. In the box labeled SMB Printer, next to where it says SMB:// type your Vista computer's work group. Unless you've changed it, it will likely be the word work group, all in capitals, then a slash, then the IP address of the Vista machine, and then a colon. Then the port number, and usually this is port number 9100. 9100 is the first shared printer in Samba speak, and that would be the first shared printer that's connected to the other PC. A second printer would be at port 9101, and so on. So once you've got the port number in there, you need another slash, and then finally, the name you chose for your printer when you shared it. On my network, when I'm connecting to my Vista printer from my Linux computer, this line reads SMB:// workgroup, all in caps, /192.168.2.102:9100/laserjet_2100PS. And that's because that's the model printer I have. It's an HP LaserJet. So once you've got all that in place, click the box labeled Authentication Required. Enter your Windows username and password and click the Verify button. If all goes well, you'll see a box that reads Verified. This printer share is accessible. Click OK to continue. Click the Forward button. And now you can set up the printer normally. Choose a make and model and driver appropriate for your printer. My choices were HP LaserJet 2100 and HP LaserJet 2100 PostScript recommended, respectively. Click forward to continue. Almost done here, Tom. We got just a couple more steps to go. In the final box, give your printer a name and optionally a description and location. Click apply to save your printer's settings. Click the Print Test Page button, and you should see the Ubuntu test page coming out of your printer. Remember that the name of the printer that appears when you go to print to it in Windows is not the printer name you want to enter when you're entering a printer name into these dialog boxes. You want to use the name you gave it when you shared it in Windows. That name shouldn't have any spaces in it. For example, from my Windows XP computer, my printer appears as HP space LaserJet space 2100 space series space PS space bracket MS bracket. But if I right click and look at the sharing properties, I can see that I have shared it using the share name HP_2100PS. Much simpler.
And those are the most extensive Windows instructions ever to appear on this show so far.
On any Linux podcast, I dare say.
And I feel a little dirty, but after the show is over, I can take a shower.
Okay, that's agreed.
All right, so now what if you don't remember what name you gave a shared printer on your Windows Vista computer? Is there a way to find that out?
Yes, there is. If you don't remember the name you gave your printer, you should click on the printer from within the hardware and sound group in the Vista control panel. Then right-click on your shared printer, choose the sharing tab, and look for the field labeled share name. That's where it'll be.
Well, we've covered a lot today, but really, I think it's straightforward once you've done it once or twice. Let's go over the basic steps. Step 1, connect the printer to a networked computer. Step 2, set the printer up and indicate that it is shared. Step 3, from the remote computer, connect to the other computer using the IP address and the printer's name or port number. And don't forget to open that port.
Mm-hmm.
The details of each step depend on the operating system.
Of course. And we've discussed how to connect to a printer on a Linux computer from a Linux and from a Windows computer. And we've discussed how to connect to a printer on a Windows computer from Linux. Let's provide some links to some references that might help our listeners even further, especially for those who weren't able to follow along as we were talking on this podcast.
Right. We'll provide a link to Chess Griffin's Linux Reality episode on how to set up cups for sharing Linux printers. In episode 29, Chess talks about connecting to shared Linux printers using the command line. Now, Larry, how do I connect to my Commodore 64 printer?
I haven't got a clue.
Okay.
And I don't think Chess talks about that either.
Okay.
We'll also provide links for Gentoo, Linux questions, and Ubuntu documentation on how to share printers.
And I don't think we're done yet, Larry. Didn't we have a second topic for this advanced networking show?
Yes, we did. It was remote control, not just using one keyboard and mouse to control two computers like the Synergy utility allows you to do. The Synergy utility, you'll recall, is something we introduced a couple of episodes ago. And in this episode, we're not going to go into real advanced detail here. Let's just introduce the topic of remote controlling one computer from another computer over the network. And of course, there are several ways of doing this.
Remote control? Oh my God, Larry.
This is an introduction, Tom. This is not detail.
Okay.
Some of the software available for controlling a Windows computer from a Linux computer, a Linux computer from a Linux computer, or a Windows computer from a Windows computer include things like the program or utility RDC, which is Remote Desktop Client, I believe, VNC, Virtual Network Computing, X11 VNC, we'll have a link to that one, LogMeIn, CrossLoop, SSH, Gitso, Yugyu, italk.sourceforge.net, and a bunch of others.
Okay, when I saw this remote control, I was thinking LIRC.
Okay, so what's LIRC, as in infrared remote
Linux
control?
Infrared remote control,
yeah. Nope. Remote control of one computer from another one over the network.
Our objective here is not to cover any of these in depth today, but to provide an overview of what's available. In one of our recent episodes, AJ mentioned VNC for remote control. He introduced that fairly well.
Yes, one thing to remember with VNC, though, is that it's not a secure application. So if you decide to use VNC to control a second computer over the internet or in any other way that's not within your own network, then you'll need to use some sort of VPN, virtual private network, or an additional utility like SSH tunneling to ensure security with your connection.
Right, and Hacker Public Radio discussed SSH tunneling on episode 112, so let's not rehash that. We will put a link in the show notes.
Yes, they did a really good job of that. Another one that I didn't mention is something that was mentioned on the LinuxPlanet.com site. They have a tutorial entitled Graphical Remote Control Desktops for Linux. There they have a three-part tutorial that discusses something called NX Client and NX Server. That's something not for the novice Linux user, but we'll include links to that three-part tutorial on the show notes as well.
Right. Now, Larry, I've seen the RDC remote desktop client in Ubuntu, haven't I?
Yes, you have. And in fact, it is included in many Linux distributions. In Ubuntu, it's included. And there is also utility in KDE that lets you set up your desktop for sharing, and another one that lets you actually connect from a KDE desktop to another desktop. Both of those utilities use VNC protocol on the back end to make the connections. So again, these utilities are not secure connections, and I would only recommend that you use them without some sort of secure tunneling or virtual private network if you're connecting computers within your own personal network. So for example, if you have a computer in the den and you want to connect to another computer that you have in another room and control it, the utilities within the Linux application or even VNC would be a good choice to do that, because with those you can connect to another computer, you can control that computer if the user of the other computer has granted you permissions to do that, and you can view the desktop of the other computer if you just want someone to show you something on their desktop or show you something in an application that they're using.
Right, you kind of get to look over their shoulder.
Exactly. And I think in the episode where we mentioned this, you had mentioned that you use VNC to do this kind of remote control, or at least to view AJ's desktop.
Right, view and control.
And control, that's right. So there are a lot of utilities out there. I mentioned a few of them. RDC, VNC, X11 VNC, they are all Linux cross-platform applications in the case of VNC and X11 VNC. LogMeIn is an application that you can get to from logmein.com. You install something on your Windows computer, and that allows you to connect to it from any other computer, Linux, Windows, or Mac, and control it. It does not have a client that you can use on Linux yet. They only have clients for Windows and Mac.
So how do you talk to it from your Linux machine?
You go to the LogMeIn website, sign in with your username and password, and then you have a list of computers that you can connect to with your account, including any Windows computers or Mac computers that you've set this up on. You click on a link and it shows you, it gives you a number of choices, including remote control. Click on that and you're in with a login name and password for the computer you're logging into.
You go through the website to connect to the other computer?
Yes, and that's what creates a secure link, is the fact that you're going through the LogMeIn site.
Yeah, and Homeland Security isn't interested in that at all.
No, not at all. Another utility that is designed for connecting and controlling Windows computers is CrossLoop. CrossLoop is something where you make a phone-to-phone connection with somebody, so you actually have to have a way to communicate with them verbally. The computer user who wants their computer controlled starts up CrossLoop. CrossLoop gives them a little code that they then verbally tell the other person who opens CrossLoop, enters that code, and then they can control the other person's computer from theirs. This is often used for help desks and things like that. You do need to install the CrossLoop application on your Windows computer for this to work. I have tried controlling a CrossLoop Windows computer from a computer using CrossLoop within Wine. And although the dialog boxes look a little wonky, it actually works. So technically, you can use CrossLoop from a Linux computer to control a Windows computer. It's a little clunky, though.
Sure. Okay, now let me get this straight.
Yep.
You have a den?
I was using that as a figure of speech.
Oh, okay.
I actually have a library and a...
And a lounge,
but we don't have a den. So anyway, Tom, without having to get into all of the details of all of those things in this episode, I think we'll save further discussion on remote controlling a computer for a more advanced episode.
Okay, that works for me. And before we go, I do have a software pick here.
Okay.
It's a call recorder for Skype, for when you're using VoIP on Skype. And it's a plug-in, and it's Linux only, and it's open source. So that's cool.
Uh-huh.
And what you do is you start it up either before or after you start Skype. And when you make a call, it automatically records it. Now, you might want to be careful of the law on this. This might be wiretapping. So tell the other person you're recording.
Mm-hmm.
But at any rate, it works great, and you can find it at http://at.ch/scr. That's Alpha Tango Delta Oscar Tango dot Charlie Hotel / Sierra Charlie Romeo. The compile instructions that they give you don't work in Ubuntu. So, just download the .deb file. Then, in your browser, right-click on the file. Click Open With, and you will see that you have the GDEBI installer. Right there, click on that, and it'll install it. No problems. And enjoy it. Go nuts.
That sounds like something we could use for their interviews on our show.
It is excellent for that. I've looked for so long for something that'll do exactly that, and here it is. Very easy, very simple.
I'm going to have to try that out. Have you installed it and tried it?
I have. It runs great.
Good.
And it does a couple of cool things. It records in stereo.
Uh-huh.
Or I think in stereo or in mono. But if you're doing an interview, you can have one person on one track and one person on the other track.
Excellent.
So if you're going to edit it later, you're going to want
that. Oh, that'll make it easy.
It will do conference calls as long as you're not the person hosting the conference call. It'll record everybody on the conference call. And what else? Oh, there's all kinds of neat little options for it. Just try it out. You're going to like
it. Yeah, sounds great. Well, my software pick, you remember... I had a software pick a while back that wasn't a Linux software pick. It was a Windows software pick.
Yeah, I did one of those too.
Yeah, it was something called And Linux that allowed you to run Linux from within Windows without having to dual boot or reboot. You actually ran Linux applications on your Windows box. And it was using something called Co-Linux, which has been around for quite a while, but it's been rejuvenated by the Ant Linux folks. Well, I have another one of those.
Okay.
This one is called Super Ubuntu. Yes. And you can get to it from the site hacktolive.org/wiki/super_Ubuntu. It opens a wiki site, and there are links there where you can download this thing. Of course, it's going to download an .exe file because you're installing it in Windows. And what it does is it puts a little Ubuntu upper taskbar on the top of your Windows screen. And
cool.
You can click the menus and you can open a word processor. Of course, a Linux word processor. You can open Firefox. You can open almost any of the applications that come with Ubuntu. Now, it's stripped down a little bit, so it doesn't have OpenOffice in there, but it does have another open source word processor in there. But you have access through the Synaptic Package Manager to all of the repositories for Ubuntu, because it is Ubuntu.
No kidding.
Yes. So you can install anything you want. And depending on how much RAM you have on your Windows computer and what version of Windows you're running, how fast your computer is. You can install all kinds of stuff on there, just like you could on a freestanding Ubuntu.
So if you're away from home and you're missing your Linux applications, your Ubuntu applications, and all you have is a W machine, you can be right at home even though you're not at home.
Yeah, exactly right. And it's Ubuntu 8.10 Intrepid Ibex that it runs. Now, I have noticed that it's a little flaky at times. So it's something that you can test out. If it runs well for you, great. It didn't run well for me on the Windows XP Professional, I think, machine that I had it installed on. It would hang up once in a while, and sometimes the menu would just not come up when I started the computer. But when it was working, it was really great. It's just after I installed it and rebooted my Windows machine, it gave me some little flakiness there. So I don't know whether that was just that one Windows machine or whether the application itself is a little flaky. But try it out. See what you think and let us know.
Sure. I'm picturing the Windows machine running a Linux program, but kicking and screaming, though.
Anyway, it's just another way to get your Linux fix when you have to use a Windows machine.
Good pick, Larry. All right, let's get out of here. What's our next episode?
Okay, our next episode is Computer America number 10. And this episode, episode 55, the one we're recording right now, is scheduled for release on the 20th of January. And the Computer America show happens on the 20th of January. So these two episodes will be back to back. Of course, it usually takes me a day or two to edit the commercials out of the Computer America episode. So we will have it shortly after you hear this episode. There'll be another one in the feed, the Computer America episode. And until that episode, you can go to the articles and show notes at goinglinux.com for more information and detailed instructions with diagrams, circles and arrows, and screenshots. Email us with your comments, questions, and suggestions.
And send us an audio comment by email, okay? We haven't gotten any of those Please. For a while. It's getting frustrating. All right, I don't want to whine. But if you do send it, we'll play it on the show. You can email that to goinglinux@gmail.com.
You can download our episodes from our website, or you can use the Flash Player right there on the website to play them.
You can also get future episodes delivered directly to your computer automatically as soon as a new episode is available. Instructions on how to do that are on the website.
Until next time, thanks for listening.
Talk to you later.
New music provided by Mark Blasco at podcastthemes.com. Whether you've merely heard of Linux or consider yourself an expert, here's your chance to learn more about it at the Southern California Linux Expo. For 2009, Scale 7X has added two new tracks for developers and beginners. We'll have over 60 speakers who will cover the latest topics in open source software, and the expo floor will have more than 80 booths featuring commercial and nonprofit organizations showing their products and software. The Friday special sessions have returned with Docs, the Open Source Conference for Healthcare. Women in Open Source will reprise their conference, as will the Open Source Software and Education Conference. The Southern California Linux Expo is February 20th, 21st, and 22nd, 2009, at the Westin LAX Hotel in Los Angeles. For more information or to register for the expo, visit SoCalLinuxExpo.org. Use promo code CAST, C-A-S-T, for 40% off of your registration, and we'll see you at Scale 7X.